We're back again, radio friends, as we search the scriptures. Today I want to bring a message on preaching Christ crucified and why. And our text is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Two short scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Preaching Christ crucified and why? Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for another privilege that we have to search your word. We're praying now, Spirit of God, that you would energize the word, that it would produce effect in the lives of those who hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the light of the season we are in, the Passion of Christ, and in the light of the many Christless sermons we hear today, I want to draw our attention back to Christ, the center and the pivot of Christianity. Many preachers today preach about everything under the sun but the Son of God. Sermons that derive from man, centers on man, and only for now and for here. The early disciples of Jesus preached Christ crucified, and they expected us to preach nothing else. Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, preached Christ, not tongues. Following the healing of the lame man by the temple gate in Acts chapter 3, Peter again preached Christ, not healing. Before the Sanhedrin, on account of the healing of the lame man, Acts chapter 4, Peter and John preached Christ, not miracles. Philip in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, preached Christ, not signs and wonders. And Saul in Damascus, following the vision of the risen Christ and his conversion in Acts chapter 9, preached Christ, not visions. Many years after his conversion, Paul still preached Christ. And that's the text we read. 1 Corinthians 1, 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." Acts chapter 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This was the faith that was delivered to the saints once and for all, according to Jude, verse 3, the gospel about Christ. For Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Why must we preach Christ crucified and him alone? Two reasons. Number one, we preach Christ crucified and him alone because of his claims. Number two, we preach Christ crucified and him alone because of his clout. Two things, his claims and his clout. We preach Christ crucified because of who he said he was and still is, which none other is or can ever be. We preach Christ crucified because of what he has done, which none other can do or could ever do. Christ's claims. We want to look at the claims that Jesus made, and I want to stick to just one book, the Gospel of John. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, and as the bread of life, he who believes in him or who feeds on him shall never hunger." In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, and as the light of the world, whoever follows him will never walk in darkness." In John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door, that is access to God, and anyone who enters by him shall be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin, and someday, sooner or later, saved from the very presence of sin. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And as a good shepherd, he would lay down his life for the sheep. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And as the resurrection and the life, he who believes in him shall never die. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then, of course, he says, no man comes to the Father but by me. He is the way to those who are lost in sins and trespasses. He is the truth to those who are deceived by Satan. He is the life to those who are dead as a result of sin. And then finally, in John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And as a true vine, those who will stick to him, who will depend upon him as a branch or as branches, will be productive. May I observe that these are what we call the I am statements of Jesus Christ. And these I am statements of Jesus Christ are his claim to divinity. By them, Jesus claims to be Jehovah, the I Am, who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. On one occasion, in John chapter 8, verses 56 to 59, at the temple in Jerusalem, following the exchange which Jesus had with the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus said to them, John chapter 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Verse 58, John 8, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I said to you, before Abraham was, I am. Bad English, isn't it? No, but it's not the English that Jesus is talking about now or thinking about. It is the reality of the fact that he is divinity. Before Abraham was, I had been. No, he didn't say I had been or I was. But before Abraham was, I am. By this, Jesus was saying that he was God, Jehovah. And in verse 59 of that same scripture, John 8, then they took up stones to throw at him. Why? Because they wanted to execute him for blaspheming. Why did they call it blasphemy? Because he, according to him, being a man, made himself equal to God. Jesus is the great I am. That's his claim. We must preach Christ crucified and him alone, not only because of his claims, but also because of his clout, what he has done. For this, we will consider the following things. As time permits us, if we don't finish, we'll continue next time. We're going to consider his incarnation, his ministration, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his salvation, and his coronation, his clout, the incarnation of Christ. Jesus Christ is God who came in the form of a man, perfect man, thus qualifying him to die for the sins of men. If he did not come as God, he would not be qualified to pay the penalty for the sins of man. The hymn writer Cecil Alexander put it this way. There is no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And that no wonder then he makes this call to us. He says, oh, dearly, dearly has he loved. And we must love him too and try his work to do. We'll stop here and we will conclude next time. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful again for this opportunity we have had. I'm praying for my friends in Radio Land, asking that in this season when we remember the price you paid, that this price will have effect in these, my friends, producing salvation, producing deliverance, producing healing for soul, spirit, and body in Jesus' name. Amen. The announcer will tell you how you get in touch with us. See you again sometime next week.